Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting
Let's
Nine.
Go!
Episode 144, which, by the way, before we started recording this, we've been doing this podcast since 2017.
We got questions.
The Short Porch started last year. They're on episode 149. We're on episode 144. We do two episodes a week during the season. We do one episode a week during the off season. So at what point was the Short Porch doing like six episodes a week to pass us? That makes no sense. We've never taken any time off.
No, it's like it's like is this a high school football fucking like what do we do? Two a days? What do they got going on?
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, we're like a full season ahead of
more than a full season ahead.
Where have they been doing this?
I would say it would make a lot of sense to investigate the Short Porch.
It's something we have to do, I think, at this point in time, because there's
to
no
protect
way that
the
math...
integrity of baseball podcasting, I would say it's only fair to investigate the Short Porch.
It's fair. I'm 100% with you. I think, I mean, before we commit to the launch, I think we should figure out how this is even possible. Like, I'm trying to think about a calendar here and how that operates. How much baseball were they talking about when we weren't talking about baseball?
You know what would make more sense?
I don't understand that.
Now that I think of it, we should probably investigate ourselves.
Why is that?
It would make more sense, like, if we had like 244 episodes, not 144. Like, if we just like went to like 199 and then we were like 200, all right, 115.
It's like, throw it back.
Yeah.
why are we not, what happened, where did we go?
No way they've done more episodes than us.
I can't believe it.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's something we have to look into.
Yeah,
we at this point in time now you know what, fuck it, we don't have to wait anything. This is the official launch
of the investigation
into the Short Porch.
Yeah.
I can't at this point buy it.
No.
We need somebody. Is there anybody out there willing to listen to how many?
149. Even though we started a full year.
It's a full season
ahead of them and we never took a week off.
Like, what? Like, they don't get to, like, I don't understand.
I don't even think they started doing two episodes a week until like this year.
This isn't like that. Like, this isn't like the big leagues. Trust me, I know. When you get to accumulate time for being hurt and a piece of shit,
yeah.
Like, I know all about that.
Sure.
So you don't. That's not how this works.
Correct.
They don't. They didn't, like, just because they liked the Yankees for a year together doesn't mean they get to now, like you know, chalk those days up for episodes, right? Is that what happened?
This just doesn't make sense.
I don't get it. I don't know what happened. Something happened here, though. We're gonna have to have
Jay Hay look into this.
He's the math guy.
Yeah, he is. He's the numbers guy.
Yeah.
By the way, Dallas and I are together.
True story.
Like, in person.
Played a little softball tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Starting Nine.
Yeah.
Took over the diamond.
Yeah, we did. Let's just say everyone loves a good comeback story. That's really what it was all about.
Well, let's not bury the lead here. We won the game.
Convincing fashion.
And I'll say this.
Yep.
The inning that you had to sit out
was the worst defensive inning that you guys had.
It was.
Yeah.
That's
just a fact.
It was. Like, I don't know if there was anything to...
It's like a hockey plus minus.
The right fielder who replaced you being worse than you?
Well, let's just say that only one ball was in my direction.
Yep.
It was hit pretty good.
Yeah, can we talk about that?
Yeah, I would love to.
See,
here's the thing. Let me just talk about this real quick. So I'm out in right field, which is a position that I played thousands of times. Thousands of times.
Since Little League.
Yeah. First thing, not a lot of night games under my belt.
Oh.
A lot of day games.
Oh, kid, don't let the nighttime fool you.
I mean, it's different.
Don't let that moon get to you.
You can't deny that it's, you know, the ball off the bat, it just looks different in the night sky versus the daytime.
I mean, there's different reads. You know, sometimes it's the lights.
Trust me, there's different
sometimes
reads.
There's elements that are involved.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something that the folks at home, if you've never played baseball before in your life, it's like, you know, how hard is it to catch a fly ball? Very.
Can we just talk about the audio of the play? So I'm playing I'm playing shortstop like any stud would, and I watch the ball off the bat, and I'm thinking to myself, This is outstanding. This is right at Jared. Jared takes like two steps in and just an instant. Oh shit. Oh shit.
It was a bad read.
Oh, it was a bad fucking read. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Because everybody else just started dying laughing. Because that's what happens when that happens out there, it's really funny because everybody has that same reaction. And typically you don't have, like, it was that perfect moment, like where you ever, you know, you're in class or you're in a loud area where people are talking and you're talking and maybe you're saying something that you shouldn't. And then all of a sudden it goes silent and everybody can hear the shit you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now they hear that comment you just made. Mm-hmm. Well, it was like, there wasn't a pitch being thrown on any of the other diamonds. Nobody was yelling. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Ball strike. Ding. Oh shit. and then we saw the back of the rocket. It took off running.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, it was a bad read. It was a bad read. I mean, Bryn tried to charge me with an error. That's not an error. That's an inside the park home run. There is no error on the play.
That is true.
The official score would rule that an inside the park home run.
Brent was pencil whipping you. That's unfortunate because you didn't make con. It was just a bad read, a bad route. I mean, there really wasn't a route to begin with. It was, you know, you kind of.
I had my center fielder backing me up, so I didn't really even have to do much.
Yes.
Like, once it was over my head, I was like, this is no longer my play.
StatCast has that at a zero efficiency route.
Yeah, it was out of my jurisdiction at that point. So I kind of just backed off and let Jesus take the wheel.
But you know what? We knew things were going to get better. I was very excited. I was watching your warm-up swings, you know? Felt like you had a nice path that you were generating.
I got a great swing.
I was really
just
excited.
Not really for slow-pitch softball.
So,
like, you know, you got to throw me the heater. Like, if you're not giving me something straight and hard, then I'm just – there's not a whole lot I can do with that.
Well, you took some great hacks before the pitches started coming.
Yeah. Well, don't make it seem like I struck out. I mean,
solid contact
every single time is just right at people.
Yeah, and it was you got a good taste of those Santa Ana winds that I've been dealing with out here.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, absolutely out of nowhere, little dust devil kicks up, poof, 45-mile-an-hour gust. The ball that you hit, like, I had to check the bat and make sure that it was going to be usable again for cracks or dents. Mm-hmm. The ball that you hit, if I've ever seen a ball get hung up,
yeah,
the first it was talk about hitting a sheet.
Yep,
I mean the shortstop made a great play, but yeah, I mean you barreled it up.
First at bat, line drive the shortstop. Second at bat, chopper up the middle. That should have been a base hit. Should have been 2-for-2 there. Third at bat, I don't remember the third one. Fourth one, I got under it, popped up to the third baseman, and then the fifth at bat. Finally got off the schneid with a rocket into left center.
That Bryn, I think you woke Bryn up. Bryn, Bryn was
this is done.
Bryn was wearing three sweatshirts and underneath the blanket, and she heard the sound of the bat and knew instantly what was going on. Oh my God, this is going to be Jared's game ball moment. I need to get on. I need to get on this. And
Well, I mean, I warned her. I called my shot.
You did.
I called my shot.
You lulled her to sleep with the confidence. I think is what happened.
Yep. I was kind of just like, I could feel it. You know what did it, though?
Those
kids. No, the kids showed up. and they were rooting against me.
Yeah.
And I was too comfortable. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going to come in here and go like 4 for 5, with like 3 doubles and triple or whatever. it just didn't work out that way. And then these kids showed up and they were like, not taunting me, but they were definitely rooting against me. And then when I was at the plate, they were like, he's going to strike out. And I was like, the second I heard that, I was like, all right.
I got to say, that was, you put together your best AB that time around.
Yeah. Like, the second that I know that people are watching me, that know me, that are rooting for me to fail,
that hate you,
it's never going
to
happen.
You had to feel the hate. That might have been it. I think you were, because everybody welcomed you with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
They were excited.
People were too friendly.
They were excited to have you.
Yeah.
They were. It was great. You took a couple pictures with some of the teammates.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
It was good. So I was glad to see you. I was glad to see you walk out of there with a batting average.
For sure.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
Yeah. Exit velocity was pristine the entire night. After the knock into left center, I tried to take first base out of the ground. It wouldn't come up.
It was
in there pretty good.
It's in there tough. They've got an orange bag there, Jared. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because you were only on base one time, but they've got the orange bag there.
Yeah,
and that might be something that MLB decides to kick around. I don't know.
Yeah, they should.
Thoughts on the orange bag since you were actually able to utilize that?
Yeah, no, I like the idea. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I don't ever
I feel like I've seen the orange bag before plenty of times.
Yeah, other softball venues.
Yeah.
I don't know what it, like, I don't ever, I've never stayed, I don't know what it's like to just go to first. So, like, I don't
know if you do
use that bag.
I saw you on first base a couple times.
No.
Yeah, you also killed a guy.
That's what I'm running. That's what I
as I was out in right center. Dallas Braden gets a ground ball to shortstop, and instead of just underhanding to his second baseman to complete the double play, Dallas takes it upon himself to go the unassisted double play route, and he runs over to second base, tags the bag, and then steamrolls a 95-year-old man. Still turn the double play. Still turn the double play there, yeah. But in the process, ruptured the spleen of a 95-year-old man.
First of all,
he shouldn't have been standing there.
That young fella did not. He didn't slide and he didn't veer.
Yeah,
like those are your options there, right? Like,
so that's on him.
So I mean,
it's not on him.
It's, hey, get out of the way.
Right.
I don't know. Well, like, I've got a play to make.
Right.
I'm glad to see that he was okay. Yeah. He actually made his way out to right field for the remainder of the game.
He did.
He was a first baseman until that happened.
That is what motivated me a little bit, too. We were sitting in the dugout, me and Bryn, after I was removed from my my defensive services. And the man, after you bulldozed him, again, this man was 95 years old, hammered a double into the gap. And I was like, all right. Like,
this old guy's out here doing work. This old guy just got, because look, first of all, I didn't fucking steamroll anybody. I ran and stopped on the bag, and he ran into me.
Dallas lowered his shoulder, drove this 95-year-old man into the ground, and I'm pretty sure he flexed over his body.
Oh, yeah. He lived. He's fine.
No, he's fine, like, he shouldn't have been.
I'm glad to see that motivated you, though.
No, it did. Yeah, for sure. Like, after that happening, and then, he hit a double, and I was like, come on.
And I heard you out there. Yeah. I heard you out there when I made that play. Oh!
I said, it's just a game, Fokker. That's what I said.
I think it was when I made the play. I made the actual play.
Oh, yeah. No, I reacted.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
I was like, hey-o.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those.
Yeah, if you look behind you, Jared, on that shelf there,
yeah,
see that?
The gold glove?
Yeah. That's real, bud. That's from the league.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is.
Yeah, what you saw out there tonight?
That's from the softball league, you mean?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's... No, I got snubbed on at the big league level.
Yeah.
You go look up those highlight videos.
Mm-hmm.
Laying out,
yeah,
doing work in the race.
Did you have a good glove,
stadium? Buddy?
Did you,
buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out.
You ever snag a comebacker?
Yeah, sure.
Wait,
did.
Didn't you get caught in the throat one time? Or am I making that up?
Yes, you did.
don't tell me. Why am I like, why isn't, why did like the name like Vernon Wells pop? It was Vernon Wells?
Yep. Yes.
Vernon Wells.
Vernon Wells.
Who's an agent now.
Yeah. Also a wine enthusiast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Has a wine company.
Sure does.
Yeah. So does Dave Roberts, right?
Sure does.
Yeah.
Stitch.
And Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Yeah. So
Vernon Wells hit a comebacker off your throat. Did it bounce or was it a line shot?
No, it fucking liner. right off, like I was releasing the ball.
Yeah.
And it, like my hand was just in a position. Like honestly, you go back and like they were showing me, if my hand's not in the way, that hits me directly in the throat.
Yeah.
And like, who knows? It was 106, dude.
Yikes.
Like blew my hand up. And they were like, yo, we got to get this x-rayed and shit. Like, let's go. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Right after this fucking ball game.
Oh!
Get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That happened in the first inning.
Was he with the Blue Jays still?
With the Blue Jays.
Got it.
Yes. Just went on.
Vernon Wells.
Completed six. No big.
Not a big deal. Who are you up against?
Sorry about it. Who pitched that day?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do not know. I don't remember. It was Father's Day, I believe.
Ooh.
If I remember correctly.
What year is this?
I want to say 2009.
2009.
Hmm. 2009, maybe?
Good year.
Yeah. 08, 09. Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an eventful day today.
It was. We're in LA-ish.
Had some In-N-Out Burger.
Yep.
Got to experience a car driving without keys.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
That was weird.
Yeah, I feel like that was like some Iron Man shit.
Keys fell out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and we just kept rolling.
Yeah.
And restarted it at the In-N-Out Burger parking lot.
Yeah.
No problem.
Are we allowed to talk about what we're doing tomorrow?
Yeah, because as you listen to this,
mm-hmm.
we know, and everybody knows,
yeah.
that we will be embedded with Easton.
Ah.
They have what is called an Easton activation, an Easton event.
Yeah.
They tell us that they've got a couple surprises
mm-hmm.
they couldn't really take the lid off of quite yet, so we're excited for that.
Yep.
But it's basically going to be a look at the facility that's out here at Thousand Oaks. They're making a big push, obviously, with the off-season starting, winter meetings coming around. People understand that this industry, my friend, is a machine, much like the NFL, much like the NBA.
Much like me.
Doesn't much softball, exactly yeah. like hashtag Rocket Tech.
Yeah.
The machine doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to continue to grind. We're a part of that. We get to look behind the scenes, like I said. I'm pretty excited, pretty stoked, because actually a guy that was playing at University of the Pacific was there when I was playing in the big leagues. A guy that I used to be able to throw bullpens to, he is now working at Easton. So it's really cool just to see guys that were in the game at one time, still around the game, still doing awesome things. So I'm really excited about that, but it's going to be a kick-ass time. I don't know if we're going to be playing games, like what competitions. I really don't know what to expect, man.
I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, like honestly, it says bring athletic gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bring your cleats, bring your turfs, I think. You know, bring a glove. You got to remember, they sent a backpack in each and every hotel room, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough I was able to go and pick mine up at the facility today. So I got a lowdown, right?
I don't have cleats.
We get you suited up. We get you suited up. Yeah, I think my wife's got some cleats that'll probably fit you.
Cool.
Yeah. Get you dialed in.
Love that. I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I would say follow Starting Nine on Instagram to consume the content.
Get a look at the story. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're gonna get a fresh taste of what transpired tonight on the diamond.
Yeah.
We also, Jared, did you get a look at the ugly sweater?
I did.
Thoughts on it?
Fan.
I gotta tell you, if you gotta look at the Alex Bregman Rocket t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
I tried to go that route again. And I requested, give me a fucking jacked reindeer, put Jared's head on it, Rudolph, like, leading the sleigh,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? Just throw me in the back,
mm-hmm.
dress me in a Santa suit, and I wanted Jay Hay, like, popping his head out of a cottage with a fresh tray of tasty nugs. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that time is of the essence.
Sure.
A lot of demand for a lot of great designs. Mm-hmm. We've been appeased and accommodated very well. So I was more than happy with the design that we got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to be rocking to each and every one of your ugly Christmas sweater parties mm-hmm. this evening. Or not this evening, this year.
This year.
If you're a grounds crew member.
For sure.
So check that out as well.
I would like to partake in that.
Yeah. We got one.
I would like to have an ugly Christmas sweater party myself.
You should have one. We're actually going to be having one here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come back for that.
Yeah, I can extend the invite.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're excited about it.
Will I know anybody there? Or?
There's going to be some folks that you actually were playing softball with.
Tonight. Oh.
That's right. Some of your teammates.
Some teammates of mine,
some
yes.
Some of your teammates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah. You're a team guy. There's yeah. going to be lots of folks.
Huge here. Team guy. Actually, you know what? I'm not. When I was on the bench, I said to Bryn that I feel like Barry Zito. I said I was like, I want my team to lose because I'm not contributing to anything on the field.
See, this is the raw honesty
yeah.
that I love to see out of you. This is yeah. what makes you. This is what makes you like. Sort of connectable
sure.
with the fans. Right?
Well, I wasn't having a good time. When I was 0-4, I wasn't having a good time. Right. I wanted our team to blow our 9-run lead. Yeah.
So is that what happened? The Gatorade bucket didn't fall over, as I was told?
Yeah, no. It was... Because
you sat down for defense that inning. I came back into the dugout because yep. I play every inning. Mm-hmm. And the Gatorade bucket was gone.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm thirsty, everyone's thirsty.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, Barry Zito said that on this very podcast. He said, what was that, the 2012 World Series?
Yep.
He said he was rooting for the Giants to lose because he wasn't contributing to their efforts in their pursuit of winning a World Series. Well, when I was 0-4, I wanted us to blow our lead because I was like, I'm not having fun. I'm not contributing to all the good things that are happening on the field, so I hope we lose. And then I got a hit, and I was like, you know what? I hope the team wins. And we won, and I got the game ball.
Everything is better.
Yeah.
We gotta shift gears here.
Okay.
I got to ask you, I don't know if you saw any of the interaction that I had with this individual. Look, we all know what we're getting into, right? Mm. We all know what we're talking about here. Mm. The Astros. We understand. It's been the hot topic.
Do we understand?
We get it. I don't think
we do understand.
What don't we understand?
I think that, I don't want to say we've only scratched the surface. I think that we're beyond the tip of the iceberg, but I don't think that we've seen the whole iceberg for sure. I think there's more to it.
I 1,000% agree that there's more to it. Just like Jared.
Yeah.
There's more to
yeah.
your beverage selections.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because it's wintertime doesn't mean you got to go hot.
See, here's the thing, right? It when people judge me for drinking like a hot coffee in the summertime or if I get like an iced coffee in the wintertime, it's like I don't let the weather outside
dictate
the temperature of my beverages. If mm-hmm. it tastes delicious, then I'm just going to drink it.
No, you shake and you get your pitch.
Yeah.
That's it. So you can do that right now.
Yeah.
Like I have. I've done this. I told you right now. Bryn, you saw in the refrigerator when you walked in here.
Yeah.
What was in there? Truly. She's shaking her head. She doesn't
have
a microphone.
Head. You don't
have
a mic?
You can't hear her no. shake her head.
I bet you they could hear her in the background, though.
Say it.
Truly. Yeah, that's right.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Done.
Done.
The fucking berry pack.
Yeah.
I'm not a big... Push the basic. I'm a big basic guy. My basic
you're pretty
bitch comes
basic,
out
yeah.
pretty early.
Yeah.
Pretty early. I've yep. talked about me making the basic move early with the pre-fall pumpkin spice latte PSL whip on the bottom and top.
If you were a girl, you would be insufferable on Instagram.
Probably. Yeah. I would be I'd be the friend right now losing her shit about the idea of likes going away.
Oh, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still implementing the duck face because I would still think my lips look good enough to just get away with that.
I am
That's
kind of
where
in the
my
camp
mind
of what's
would be.
The point.
But. Like, if I'm not showing, if you're not walking away from my Instagram feed going, Areola, there was Areola again today.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm not doing it right. That's how I would feel about it. I would have absolutely, I'm the girl that you would have to, like, I'm the girl that you cannot date and or marry if we live in the same hometown, mm-hmm. just because, like, you and your boys are going to be like, yo, like, you can't fuck. I'm the girl that, you know, I get swept off my feet mm-hmm. because I'm like I got the double handed twisty down right. pat.
Yep.
I, you know, blindfolded.
Done deal.
Yeah. That's who I am.
Yep.
For sure.
What were we talking about?
Well, we're talking about what those kind of girls mm-hmm. like to drink.
Right.
What I like to drink.
What do you like to drink?
And it's the Trulies.
It's That's the what fucking, I like to drink, too, though.
Berry Trulies.
I feel like it's not really, like, I feel like it's a beverage that we can all enjoy together.
It is. My grandma was hammering a mango one earlier this evening.
I saw that.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
She loves it.
She does. She requested it. She actually made me get on my scooter the other day, drive down to the liquor store, mm-hmm. and requested by flavor the black cherry
yep.
and the mango. She's a big mango gal.
She made a funny joke earlier.
She did make a funny joke.
Yeah, she did.
You caught that?
Yeah.
You want to tell the people what you said?
She lives on Dallas's premises. And she was like, I got to head home. Traffic gets bad this time of night.
Yeah.
She has to walk like across the driveway.
It's 22 feet.
Yeah.
It is 22 feet from her yeah. front door to mine.
Yeah. She's terrific. This yeah. is the first time that we met.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It's a long time coming.
Yes. Well, she's heard a lot about you guys, mm-hmm. so she's very excited.
I'm excited.
She was a little disappointed that it was not like a point where she could have cooked something or baked something.
I mean, there's still time on the clock.
Yeah, well, you haven't left yet, and right. that's what I told her. Yeah. So.
And we'll be here all weekend.
So we had to reel her in.
Yeah. Just give her a Truly.
Well, it's 5 grams of sugar. No, excuse me. 5% alcohol by volume, only 1 gram of sugar.
Ah.
That was a big deal for her. Wasn't inundated by the sweetness. I'm a fucking giant. Can I tell you about the berry, folks?
Please.
It's the berry. It's just go with the berry pack. There's a lot of other flavors. Try them too. They're great. I would not sell you on something that I wouldn't drink myself, that I'm not drinking myself. The best part about this shit, and we did this the other night, me and my wife, we were on our way to Malibu, going to Nobu for our anniversary. 5 years.
Congrats, by the way.
That's right. Thank you. And
to Meg for making 5 years with Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she has made every bit of these 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's brought me along.
Brave soul.
She has brought me along.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I had no problem loading up our travel bag with Trulies.
Right.
They sat in our travel bag mm-hmm. in the back of the vehicle that we were being driven around in.
Yep.
They were nice and cold after dinner as well, mm-hmm. on the way to our comedy show, on the way to go see my man Theo Vaughn.
Did you just point
I'm just pointing going? In that I direction because that's where we were going.
Got it.
But you're getting a sweet look at my Ted Williams.
Yeah, there's some Red Sox memorabilia over here.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's Red cool. Sox. Yeah. There's also some Red Sox memorabilia right above that.
Yeah,
oh, that's so fucking George.
Is that his actual signature?
And that's George as well.
Huh.
That one right there is in Stockton, California.
Which if you tuned into the last podcast, was it last podcast?
It was the last podcast.
Last podcast, I did my essay on Stockton. A lot of great information. Just a lot of great information.
A ton. I believe George Herman Ruth actually, before that picture was taken, with those two small children, they could be, at the time, drinking age. I believe they all three shotgun Trulies. Babe went up, hit a homer
yeah.
out to right field. It was like only the second home run hit in right field at Billy Hebert on a Tuesday day game
right.
after having shotgunned a Truly.
Yeah. Yeah, Babe Ruth was fake.
Like that's how ridiculous he was? Like it was cheat code. You're right. He was an absolute fucking cheat code.
He didn't actually play professional baseball, I don't think.
He played on another level. Like, he played in the bigger leagues.
Mm.
His big leagues? And his bigger leagues.
No, I think he was a mythical creation.
Again.
I'm telling you, the guy...
A god amongst men.
The guy who introduced that theory, we haven't named his name yet, I don't think, on this podcast. I think he's attainable, and I think he's still active. I think he played last year. We're going to get him, and we're going to go over that theory.
The unicorn?
Yeah.
I saw some numbers today floating around.
Yeah.
basing the start of one Barry Lamar Bonds career.
Yeah.
And the start of one
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout's career. And as it sets right now.
Yeah.
I think Mike Trout might have the edge.
That's fine through nine seasons, but Barry kind of got better with age.
This is where Barry starts to. This is where when you walk by and you tap that barrel.
Yeah.
Mm.
This is where, I mean, Barry just
that wine starts to taste a lot sweeter.
That's what I'm saying. It's like as Barry got older.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 2.
Got more focused.
He did.
He started
prioritized. He prioritized.
Yeah. Everyone gets wiser with age.
That's right.
Everyone gets wiser with Truly.
Hyper-focus.
Yeah.
That's what it can do for you, my friend.
Correct.
That's why if you are looking for a way to put an exclamation point on your evening, like around in the cages, like 70,
sure,
3,
yep.
Truly.
Truly.
It's truly the way to go.
It truly is the way to go. You know what isn't truly the way to go? Cheating.
Not good at all.
Can't do it.
No. I had a lot of bad feelings about this, and I think I still have a lot of bad feelings about this.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of different ways we can go with this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways I think the public can go with this. One thing, let's start here. Let me ask you this right now.
Sure.
With the PED cloud, guys inherently have all of their production or a majority of their production called into question.
Yeah.
Were you that good? Were you? Now, I hate to think that a lot of those guys are going to be asked or going to be looked at that same way. Going to have that question asked about them. Well, how fucking good were you if you knew what was coming? Because I'll tell you right now, there's not a baseball player on the planet that'll be able to tell you or that would look you in the eye and tell you it doesn't make that big of a difference to know what's coming.
Right.
That couldn't be farther from the fucking truth. That is why we put the fingers down. Is because if it didn't matter, we wouldn't pay that much attention to it. Well, when you're gearing up and trying to be on time for 97, 98, and then shit's wiping you out at 91, 92, sliding away from you, yeah. If I tell you that you don't have to worry about that one, or I tell you that that one is coming, you're really excited. You like your chances.
Right.
You've got a game plan. All right? Now, that goes away. That crutch is gone.
Yep.
And the question becomes, to what extent were they utilizing it? To what extent was the team utilizing it? Is this a 1-25? Justin Verlander knows about it as well. Like, does Zach Greinke, is he privy to it as well now? Like, did he know about it before this all came about? Like, those are the questions that you start to ask and you start to wonder. And when you go down the line, that's where, as an outsider, it becomes very difficult for us to go, yes, Gurriel was taking the signs when he was there. Yes, each and every one. Bregman was getting the signs. Correa was getting the signs. Mariznick was getting. Do we know that each and every one of them? Like, so that's, you know, when are we going? Like, we have the at-bats. We have the video proof, right? That would like, indicate that there are certain individuals. But we don't have 25 or we don't have 15 separate videos showing each and every, because now, do the guys in AAA, are they aware of this too? Think about the guys that are on that shuttle, right?
I don't think so.
Those position players that are up and down. So I thought about this. Remember that conversation that Altuve was having with Bregman after Bregman, carried his bat to fucking right field, which, again, was awesome.
it was awesome.
He, it almost now makes me feel like Altuve was absolutely telling him, hey, look, man, you know, if that's not you, we understand that's not you. Let's do this a certain way. But with the rumblings that were already going on that you were aware of, that I was aware of, and the proof that was out, like, do you think there was like there was almost like a, hey, look, man, let's not do anything
to draw really, more attention to
draw more attention to what we've got going on right now, because we have already been, I don't want to say caught, because talking about having a guy's pitches is one thing, right? And that's what Bregman was seen doing, right? Hey, he's tipping, he's whatever. When he's walking back from the dugout or back to the dugout after scoring, he stops to tell Correa, right? Hey, he's... So that's one thing. It's a whole other thing to have the fucking pitch and be and having it be communicated in real time.
Yep.
And now I started to think, was that all a way of kind of showing the world, hey, we've got their pitches, this is why we're raking. Not because we've got a closed circuit feed from center field to our fucking dugout.
Yeah.
That's not why. And like, is that part of it too? Like, was that sort of like the Trojan horse? You know what I mean? Like, hey, look at this. Woo. Oh, whoops. Yeah, we've had it since 2017.
Right.
Like, think about all that, man.
Do you think that the Astros still win the World Series in 2017 if they're not stealing the signs?
So here's where the ball player in me tells the public, do you have any idea how hard it is to barrel up that 96-mile-an-hour fastball?
People were upset when I did this. Did you see the statistics that I tweeted?
No, I didn't. Honestly, I've been potty training, Jared.
That's true. So I looked up the numbers since 2017. I wanted to see, like, because people got upset.
Home run splits.
No. Like, people got upset because they said that I was trying to justify the Astros cheating. Not what I was trying to do. I was just curious. They're cheating by getting the signs at home. How much is it actually helping them? And how many Astros players do you think were in the top 50 in slugging percentage, in home slugging percentage, since the start of the 2017 season?
We're in the top 20?
Top 50.
Top 50. How many Astros players were in the top 50?
Home slugging since 2017.
Home slugging since 2017. Well, Correa's kind of out of that because he was hurt for a while.
I mean, he would still qualify.
Yeah, but maybe Gurriel and Bregman? Fuck. What about Gattis? What year did he hit?
Huh. I think it's like
17. I don't know. Two? Three?
There was two, and they were like 46th and 50th. So, I mean, but then everyone's like, well, what would their numbers look like if they weren't cheating? And I agree with you, but I was looking, you know, to the...
So who were they? So
I think
who
it was Gurriel... and Bregman was like 50th.
Really? So it was both.
And then
those.
Like George Springer was like 56th, and Josh Reddick was like 58th. So like there was a couple guys that like right outside the top 50.
So do we got video of Gurriel?
Yep.
He's a guy, right?
He was a guy.
Bregman's a guy, right?
Bregman's a guy.
So, I mean, again, this is where the...
I think Reddick was a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and this is... This isn't about singling.
Correa was a guy. Springer was a guy. But, well, here's the thing. Did they cheat? Yes. Does having the signs help? Yes. But to what extent? And when I looked at those numbers and I sorted by home slugging percentage since 2017, I was expecting to see Altuve, Bregman, Springer. Like, I was expecting to see those names in, like, the top 25.
Something to look
at. No one was in the top
25. What about the... I think I saw this somewhere, and I am... I mean, I could be way off here. The K to walk.
Yeah, like, that was...
The home... But was that specified, like, at home? Was that the home K to...
So yeah, you got to think... Like, that one was egregious.
And that's... Look, dude. As much emphasis is put on putting the ball over the fence, putting the ball in the air, we saw tonight, Bryn, what happens when you involve the defense and you make the defense play catch and you make the defense make throws. You can see what can go wrong.
I was there too.
When you don't hit the ball over the fence.
I saw how bad everyone else was.
You were there. So giving... just forcing the opposition to not only make those plays, but make those pitches. Because look, dude, for Danny Farquhar. He could feel it. He could hear it. You just know, like, oh my God, when guys take pitches a certain way, you're like, holy shit, he knew that was coming. Yeah. That is you feel naked. You feel naked because you have nothing out there. And you know, like, he knows what's coming. What the fuck am I supposed to do right now?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? I can hear it happening and I can't do anything about it right now. Like, that is a hell of a spot to be in. So now they have an offense. Like, what is your approach at home? Easy. Keep my ears open. What's your approach? I just told you. I know what's coming at home. Yes, I know. So now, like, do you go back and are folks going to go through every at bat of every game at home from 2017 on and listen and try to, because somebody out there has the ability, the technology exists. Do you have the time? Are you willing to spend that manpower? And if you are, then you would probably have your answer, but you would have to drown out a large portion of that ambient noise, that other sound, and really listen for those cues, right? And that is, I think, the only way you can really give yourself any sort of feel for who and how long this has been happening. Now, what about the buzzers?
Yeah, what the fuck?
What?
Did you see the Reddit post?
No, like
somebody on Reddit knew about this. Someone on Reddit posted about this, and it was in between games 2 and 3 of the World Series this year.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a very sarcastic post, being like, I had this dream that the Astros had all the signs and they were relaying them to the hitters at the plate using these electronic transponders, but no one would do that. Ha ha. It was just a dream. And then I think Joel Sherman was the one that actually reported it. And then I'm reading it and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, we are now at a point where we went from banging trash cans to whistling to now players wearing Band-Aids that buzz based on the number of times to relay a certain pitch at home plate. And it's like, all right, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I think it probably did, but my first thought was that if the Astros are that advanced to where we saw the evolution of the trash can to the whistling to the Band-Aids that vibrate, I'm kind of like, what are other teams doing? Well, are we just looking at the Astros?
Well, I mean, look, that's where all of this is going to go. But what has to happen first is
I think that Rob Manfred said, he's like, we're just looking at the Astros. Oh, like, this investigation begins and ends with the Astros.
Well, dude, first of all, you can't just like be somebody in America committed murder tonight, Jared.
Yeah.
Are you okay with your door being knocked on tomorrow and you being investigated because that happened? No, that's not how this works. So the Astros cheated and they've been caught and they are the ones who are absolutely in the crosshairs right
now.
For
sure.
So like the Dodgers, you're going to reel the Dodgers in? What do the Braves do? Why are we picking on the Royals? Can't we leave the Phillies alone? For fuck's sake, the Pirates have been through enough.
But
we're bringing all of these, like, why?
I'm not saying for no reason. I'm not saying, like, knock on a random door. But I think that this MLB investigation
What is your baseline, though? What allows Jared to go knock on the door of
So that's what I'm saying, whoever. Is, like, this investigation is going to be and already has been very thorough. And if you're the Astros, you're probably feeling how I'm sort of reacting here, like, really? You're just coming after us because I heard this about them. I learned this from that guy, and he's over here now. Like, I think.
So the answer would be, okay,
people are going to start ratting each other out.
And I don't want to say fine, but if that's how it's going to go down, that's how it's going to go down. But again, I would implore anybody who feels that way to do their due diligence, as I have recommended, and go back and watch. Like, who do you hate? Who do you hate? Because I'll get to this asshole in a minute. I don't even want to say his name, but this clown shoe fuck on the internet actually had the audacity to call the Oakland A's cheaters.
Because the drum?
Because the... The was Oakland he serious? A's, oh, he is 1,000% serious, Jared. And that's the problem, is after he got, like I believe he was serious and was, like, you know, throwing shit at the wall to see what would stick. Like, oh, yeah, the drums? Like, you mean to tell me that that's just drumming? And I believe he's not that stupid. I want to believe he's not that stupid.
Yeah.
Because if you just, like, say it all out loud, you mean to tell me that the players in the dugout and the players that are actually at bat now have the ability to decipher which drum, like which strike of the drum, because it's not a beat, guys.
No.
If it's a beat that is consistent, well, you know, beats change.
Yeah.
So do pitches. Like just stop. I really can't even.
I met that guy. He just shows up. Like, he doesn't. He was up there when we did the pie in the face video.
Who, the
drum guy?
Oh, well, I mean, there's it's a whole section. There's there's multiple drummers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's like you actually think that that's happening? You think that that's possible? Like, the players are listening and able to pick out, oh, that's my. That was what, a fucking F flat? I don't even know what you call it. Yeah. But yep, here comes that slider. Whack! No, you're
an
idiot.
I can't imagine that. Like, I can't imagine that he was serious. And if he was, no one else on planet Earth was like, this guy's making a good point. Might want to look into those A's drum beats up there. I don't think that that was happening, even if that one guy was actually serious. And that's why, so I tweeted that I was like, are we really going to be doing this all off season? Like,
yeah.
Looking at video and looking at whatever, like going back and just randomly accusing people, which is how, why I tweeted that was because some like Cubs blogger was tweeting out pictures and videos of like Christian Yelich looking a little bit to the right. Like, now we're going to look at like hitters not looking directly at the pitcher. And I was like, all right, now we've gotten to a point where the tinfoil hat stuff, like, we need to pump the brakes on that. Like, the Astros, there's very clear evidence with the trash can banging and the whistling and now the transponders,
you're
whatever.
You're getting choked up right now about Yelly potentially putting, I mean, yeah. Like, I'm with you. That shit needs to, like I said, if that's what happens, fine, because I feel like the quote-unquote witch hunt mindset is really what's going to.
It's never
going
to stop.
Well, it's
you
what's.
You want to know why it's not going to stop? Because of, like, all these fucking people on the internet that are getting like 30,000 retweets on their videos, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, like, what can I dig up to get in on the action?"
But again, why are we talking about it right now? Because
it's true. Some of it's true,
and so it's brought it to light. And like again, like, we can make fun of it or talk shit about it all we want. The only way that happens is if those videos are produced, if people take the time to do that stuff, because we can say it all we want, which is what has happened and what has gone on in the game, is there's been talk about it. There's been rumors. There's been rumblings, as we've all mentioned. And now it's finally been brought to the surface, and there's no denying it. And now it's just a matter of how deep. And that's... And again, the reason that they're hyper-focused on the Astros right now is because you have to establish a precedent, right? We have to establish a baseline for this. So from here, this is why I sent this tweet out the other day, or it might have been today. Fuck, I don't know. Rob Manfred, while this is not and might not be the defining moment, people are watching. Major League Baseball is watching.
Yeah.
Everybody who loves or has even kind of heard about baseball knows that there's a huge, huge cheating scandal going on in the game right now.
Yeah.
What you do moving forward, or what you do now, sets the tone moving forward. So if you, and I ask this question, we got a guy who made a pretty big mark in this game, Jared.
Yep.
Sitting at home, not allowed in to Cooperstown because he bet to win baseball games. Bet on his own team to win baseball games. Says it very clearly. You cannot bet on this game for one reason. The integrity of the competition. Wins and losses matter. And if that is fixed and taken away, the game is gone.
Yep.
He pays that price every day.
Yep.
and you can talk about vices and your life might have been impacted because of gambling. What? That's fine. But I asked the question, what about what he did is so bad or worse now mm-hmm. compared to guys actively deceiving, mm-hmm. cheating, betting on another team to lose? You can say they're betting on themselves to win, but they're really betting on the other team to lose. Why? Because yeah. they know what you're doing.
Yeah.
They can see your cards. Right. So they've sat down at a hold'em table knowing knowing your whole cards and knowing what that flop is going to look like.
Yep.
You want to walk up to that table and sit down with your chip stack? No fucking thank you. And that's what they've been doing.
So what do you think? Because everyone keeps asking, what do you think the penalty is going to be? Or easy.
It's easy. Well, those are two very different things.
Well, let's.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen is there's going to be a draft pick fine. There's going multiple draft pick fines.
I think
and
you
hit international
where,
slot
yes,
money.
Yes, that's where you hit him where it hurts. Is because, the international spending?
Well, because that's been a vehicle to move. Around to move resources around.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Like not only like the money that you can spend on actual talent versus you, it's now a tradable commodity.
Exactly.
As well.
So now it's something that guys or like teams who might not have a stronghold in some of these international footholds, they might not be so present. They're okay with relinquishing that control or relinquishing that money because maybe that money wasn't going to go somewhere or wasn't going to make the impact because they're like, you know what? We're not sold on Venezuela right now. We're not sold on like, we've got some, you know, ears on the street in Japan, but we're not, whatever it may be, who knows? Some teams operate that way where there's just not the emphasis and you're thinking, well, that's cash. Who would not give a shit about cash? For the same reason that people just didn't scout internationally for a long time. For the same reasons people were like, nope, you're darker than I am. You can't play with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all reasons. So now you hit them with the fine. And like, what's a fine that's going to be felt by an organization who's been to the postseason as recently as they have? What, 3 out of the last 4?
16, 17. Were they in there in 15? They get knocked out by the Royals in 15 in the wild card game, maybe?
15, 16, 17, 18. No, that was the... I don't know who that was. But my point is, this team is not hurting for cash at this point in time. And what kind of penalty...
Did they play the Yankees in the wild card game in 14, too?
What kind of penalty...
I can't remember. I mean, I think, like, if that's where you hit him is obviously the draft picks, the international signing money, you know, like... You could make it so that they can't sign a player internationally. Like, you can just freeze it. You can't trade it. You can't spend it. Like, that would fucking hurt.
Well, that's all about
for a year.
That's all about the precedence. That's why I'm saying, like, so what, that's what we're watching. And this is going to be because ultimately you have a decision.
You can, like, limit their slot money, too. It's like, all right, so you can draft whoever you want, but you can only spend this much in the draft, so allocate it however the fuck you want. But
you know what you're creating? You're almost kind of, you're creating the loophole. If the punishment isn't severe enough, you're almost paving the way.
Yeah.
On how to do this. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's the show, the documentary about the little kids with little kids about juiced the fucking A-Rod shit?
What was that
called?
Oh,
my God. Why? Oh, God, that's going to bother me.
Yeah. I think it's just one word, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I forget now.
But it's almost like, yeah, that's going to bother me.
Yeah.
I don't even want to continue. I need to know that fucking name.
Does it begin with a C, maybe? I think it begins with a C. I don't know. Are you looking it up, Ren?
Yeah. Back in the game?
No. I'm going to look at my Netflix because it would be in my... Ah, shit, I'm not signed in.
Is it not juiced?
No, it's not.
Screwball?
Yeah, a screwball. Yep.
All right. What were we saying? What was I saying?
We were just talking about like the loophole.
Oh yeah. So it's essentially paving the way. So like in Screwball, where they're telling you about when to take the gummies, how to be able to circumnavigate. Look, right? It was all about not paying a guy.
Yeah.
Guy didn't get paid. That's what. So the testing that was then that was put in place prior to all of that happening,
mm-hmm.
it worked to an extent.
Yep.
Guys were afraid of it to an extent. Mm. And I've already explained very thoroughly on this podcast the business decision that goes into this shit.
Yeah.
So what punishment gets levied is essentially going to show teams or show organizations, all right, this is what you've got to be willing to wear. This is how hard the heater is. So, Doran.
So then how would you
get up there and lean into one?
How would you make it loophole proof?
I mean, like I said, dude, Pete Rose is sitting at home right now. And find the equivalent to that for an organization. Like, I don't know what, like, you're not allowed to, you don't get to go to the World Series. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I have no idea. That's why, like.
Yeah, because, like, all the people that are like, oh, you need to vacate the World Series in 2017.
That ain't happening.
Yeah, you can't take that parade away.
No.
You can't take the rings away.
No, that ain't happening.
You can't take the memories away. All that beer and champagne, it's already been drank. It's in the books. Taking it out of the record is like whatever. Like we already won it. We already celebrated that.
Well, yeah, because now you're getting into the weeds and you're taking away guys' performances. We'll just start here, right? If you're in the camp that says everything they did at home has an asterisk, fine. You're taking away everything they did on the road. You're taking away everything that those pitchers did as well. Because
mm-hmm.
the pitchers weren't getting buzzed to let them know what pitch the hitter was sitting on at home. That's not a thing.
Right.
Okay, they're just way better than a lot of the people that they faced.
Yeah.
That's how that happened. So now you're going to bang the effort from Cole. You're going to bang the effort from Verlander and all those other guys. Like, you know what I mean? It's not just those dudes.
You have to believe that they knew, though.
So that's where we go back to my original point is.
The report was like they were trusted guys. It wasn't everyone that knew about it and that was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm assuming the guys that were going to be around for a while.
And so let's talk about, I also want to talk about the video that is in the Astros World Series video, the video that's been clipped off, the still image of the laptop and the setup in the tunnel.
It was proven to not be a laptop.
It was proven to not be in the photo. Cause there's another photo of a laptop up on the table. Like so there's
not like the big monitor.
What's that? The big monitor.
Yeah.
So, and the towels, you know, the two towels hanging over, and then there's an image of just one towel hanging over, the seeds from the guy sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, so in the tunnel or in the video rooms that are located down there, what they have are, yes, access to video that has been recorded live. That they can feed back. They have an 8-second delay that we've talked about from the game out there. They have a warm, live human body in there that works for Major League Baseball sitting right next to the video coordinator for that team. So that if there were anything like that to be going awry, there would be somebody noticing what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's a separate video room, right? That's up in the clubhouse. That's where that video can be seen. Like the Oakland A's. That video is up in the clubhouse. You got to walk upstairs. You got to go through a tunnel, walk upstairs into the clubhouse to go look at your at bat, to go look at the swings the guys were taking on you their first at bat.
Mm-hmm.
That has to happen. That station is not that. And that's where the closed circuit television feed is coming into play. That's what guys need to understand. So when you're talking about just going into the tunnel or you hear teams say go into the tunnel, that's right. There's a lot of different setups, right? And so who knows? That very well could have been if that's a laptop setup or if that's what they're defensive. But that's a monitor, Jared. That's a television.
Right.
Okay? So.
And there were cable wires.
Right.
Scene.
So if there's a laptop set up near that television, now your defense might be able to be, I actually have the program that we're running upstairs hardwired here. I'm using this monitor because it's bigger, because the travel, you know, up to the clubhouse from the field level is such that it's an inconvenience. And this makes it more accommodating for the players to be able to come from the field right back here and take a look at what just happened.
Right. Mike Morse actually said that.
Yeah. So that's the case for place like in Oakland, that would be fantastic because there's a place right as you go through the tunnel. It's, I don't want to call it a blind spot because if you're a fan of the diamond level, you can walk right there, right? You've been there.
Yep.
So there is no space for the Oakland A's to have that.
Right.
Okay. And kind of by the way of replay, you got to have the same accommodations. You've got to have like the home team,
right,
the visiting team. Like we got to be operating on the same.
If you're the Red Sox and you're in Oakland, you have to walk like down a hallway, like behind the section that like people from home plate are sitting in. And then you can go like up a set of stairs, down another hallway. But even that hallway, like if you have tickets to the diamond level, you can still just be walking by the players.
Yes.
So, like, there's no area for you to have, like, the privacy of, like, hey, this is what I'm looking at.
Zero privacy.
Yeah. Like, there's fucking tape on the ground to separate, like, here's the side that the players walk on. Here's the side that the fans walk on going to their seats. But, like.
Oh, I had a blow up one time, Jared, where you saw the trash can where that's located, like, turning right as you turn the corner.
Yeah.
And I turned the corner and kicked the fuck out of that trash can.
Yeah.
Shit everywhere, all over two ladies who were standing right there waiting for their food.
Right.
And like, what, like, I didn't even see them. I see them after the fact because shit is like flying through the air and I'm like, oh, they're wearing it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, like, in ballparks like that, it makes sense to have like a little bit of a shortcut. And so that's what, see, like, that's why, like,
but that exists. Yes. So he's right. That exists.
Yeah.
Whether or not that was that set up there.
Yeah.
Don't know. He's been there though.
Yeah.
Played there.
Yeah.
He would know.
Yeah. That's why. Cause like, you know, I like the fact that there are these people that are on the internet just to look at hours of footage and be like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But when you start talking about like dugout tunnel, like monitors and shit, you don't know anything about that. Like, unless you've like been there, and like, I'm not going to pull like the, I've been in some big league clubhouses in my day. I didn't really speak on it. I was like, I've never been in the tunnel there. Like, I can't tell you if that's been there during games or not. I have no fucking clue.
Right.
I've been in a lot of major league dugouts. Like, I've been in the tunnels. I know that, you know, in some tunnels in major league ballparks, that's not there. Like, it's not there at Miller Park.
And again, one of the other things that we have to discuss and separate is this is very different than picking signs from the dugout, relaying that to your teammates in the dugout, guys going out to second base and being able to pick the signs from the catcher. That is the art of sign stealing that you hear a lot of the old school guys talk about, that you hear guys mention when they're separating the difference between utilizing technology in real time and relaying that prior to a pitch and directly affecting the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference in that and utilizing your feel. That's like a linebacker not reacting to a play action pass, knowing that ball is not being handed off.
Right.
You want him to still fill the gap and not drop back into coverage. Why?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that more is going to be coming from this.
Fuck yeah, buddy.
And I think, you know, you're going to have, like I said before, a situation where, you know, because the investigation goes beyond talking to coaches, talking to players, talking to front office members. They're talking to everybody. Anybody who knows anybody who might know something, they're talking to them. And I feel like these lower level people, they're going to want to chirp. They're going to want to sing. They're the people that aren't getting paid off, the people that might have been scorned. Like, didn't the Astros fire a shit ton of scouts?
Mr. Taubman. Oh, not a, he's not a scout, but yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, they fired their assistant general manager. I mean, like, what? When he talks,
well, think about
what might,
I mean,
he say?
Think like, about, trust, I'll tell you this
much. Is he thankful for the opportunity?
So,
is he? I mean, if he's looking for another job with a major league club, you don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, no, I'm going to tell all your secrets the second I fucking check out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that as your reputation.
No.
But these scouts that make jack shit, that may feel slighted by the organization, that may know more than what's out there, because the scouts were the ones that were.
All it takes is for that one dude to be that pissed off.
Yeah.
Just let him be that pissed off and let him have that backup plan or that alternative, or maybe he's an older guy who's like, you know what? I do this because I love it, but you're going to send me out with the trash like this.
Yeah.
And I know this about you. Right. Like, you're not about to pull the wool, because maybe that guy has some friends in the game that he feels have now been affected by what they've done. And he's like, no, on my way, on my way out, on my way to my fucking hut in Mexico on the beach. Fuck you.
Did you see who the guy was that Rosenthal reported the email that he sent out was to scouts and everything?
Yeah. Oh, did I, what do you mean? Did I see who the individual was?
Yes.
No.
Kevin Goldstein. So he was a writer for Baseball Prospectus. I was shocked when it was him. Like, I thought it was going to be like some no name, whatever. Like, Kevin, he was like a very well respected writer, and he was one of those guys like Dave Cameron from Fangraphs got hired by the Padres. But that was after Goldstein had been hired. I didn't know if he was directly hired by the Astros first, but it was one of those first like, huh,
so here's the,
you can be so good at writing that teams notice that and they want to hire you. That's awesome. Like, that was the first one that I noticed. And then now, like, he's kind of like, instead of using his brain, because obviously if you're writing for Baseball Prospectus, you know, like, baseball in and out, and like that takes like diligence. Like, it's not just watching MLB Network or ESPN and just consuming all this. Like, if you're talking about like amateur talent, you have to know your shit.
You're following those guys around.
Yes, like you have a scout level brain, and then to kind of want to take a shortcut, it's like you got hired because you're like, You're the amateur talent guy. You're the prospect guy. And then instead it's like, hey, scouts assemble. Let's find a way to cheat the system.
So you, like, if I'm being honest, that's like that's a lack of feel. That's the difference between having this great idea and it's going to work and it's numbers and like, this is data gathering and this is how we're going to do it, and applying that to a world that you might understand but haven't been, quote unquote, a part of, as much as you might not want to hear that. Yeah, that's the athlete telling you, you just haven't been there to feel that.
Right.
So I just talked about the art of Stein stealing, the respect that guys that have that capability, that they have throughout the game. That's street cred, right? Yeah. That's like valor almost. Mm-hmm. And you are now trying to just circumnavigate years of experience, years of knowledge, and just basically asking these guys who have a job because they've been able to do those things to just break out their fucking iPhone.
Yeah.
Hey, can you just, like, we'll get you great seats. Can you just kind of lock in on the third base coach?
Yeah.
Can you just lock in on the catcher? We're going to get you a seat that'll give you a clear shot of the signs he's putting down. Mm-hmm. Just record that, okay? And the scouts are looking at each other going, well, we know why you're doing this, because we have a feel for the game. You want the signs? We know why you want the signs.
Right.
You don't have to tell us why you want the signs. Mm-hmm. We know why.
I have a question. Did the Astros really think they were going to get away with this?
Yes.
Way too many people were involved to get away with this, and they know that, especially when you're telling the players and you're telling coaches that are going to change organizations, and the players, they might get traded, they might get released, they might whatever, way. And then it's not like it's, you know, when they talk about the moon landing, like if they faked it, then like hundreds of thousands of people would have had to
happen
right
over there
on it. I think it's fake too.
Yeah, happened right over
there. But like all these like conspiracies where it's like way too many people would have to keep quiet for 50 to 75 years in order to pull this off. And then the Astros get caught in 2 years. And it's because there's like coaches, there's scouts, there's executives, there's players. They all knew about it, and people they change organizations. So I genuinely think the Astros had to know eventually they would get caught. There's no fucking way they'd be able to bury this forever. But I think they thought they could pull off a dynasty And then after it's like, yeah, well, you're just jealous because we have the dynasty. Same thing with the Patriots. Patriots pull off a dynasty, well, and then people come after them for Deflategate and all this other shit. And it's like, well, you're just jealous. Like, you know, you guys cheated. Yeah, you're just jealous because we win all the time. We have 6 Super Bowls. I genuinely.
We got the hoodie recording practices and shit. Tom's letting the air out of footballs. I mean, there's a lot of question marks.
Still can't. I mean, to win a fucking Super Bowl because of pounds of pressure in a football, Jesus Christ. But with the Astros, they win in 17. In 18, the second that the Red Sox beat the Yankees in the division series, the Astros are like, fuck. Because Alex Cora goes from the Astros to the Red Sox 2017 to 2018. If they draw the Yankees in the ALCS, they're up to their old tricks. But this is not privileged information. I've never asked Alex about this. But, like, they had to know. Like, if Alex knew what they were doing in 2017, he goes to the Red Sox in 2018. It's like, hey, I know what you guys do. Do not fucking even attempt that on me in the ALC. Like, that was the worst possible matchup for the Astros, was having the Red Sox in the ALCS because they can't cheat. So then the Red Sox dust them in 2018. And then in 2019, they get the Yankees again. And they beat them. I mean, they easily
handled.
In 3 years straight could have gone to the World Series going through the Yankees in the ALCS. And you take your chances in the World Series. They win a World Series in 2017. They would get the Dodgers again in 18. They probably beat them again in 18. Now they're back to back champs. And then, you know, what the fuck happens in 2019 where they lose every home game? Like, that seems pretty. It was the first time in baseball history, right?
Yes,
a best of 7 where no home team won a game. That, I mean, you run that World Series back 10 more times. The Astros probably win that World Series 6 of those times, maybe 7. And yeah, like, that's why I think that they knew what they were doing. They were just like, hey, look at what the Patriots did. If they can just
if they can do it, we can do it too. Yeah,
I mean, like, if, you know, people will accuse us of cheating. They'll never be able to prove it, but we'll have a dynasty. We'll have 3 World Series, whatever, and well, it'll all be worth it because flags fly forever. They're not going to vacate the title. They might come down on us for cheating. They might suspend some players. They might do this. They might do that. But guess what? We're going to have 3 straight World Series titles. And is that the price that you would want to pay to win 3 straight World Series titles?
Well, as a player, the one question you ask and that you're forced to ask yourself is, if you're one of those guys, are you okay with it? And that's really the only answer that you have to worry
about. Mike Fiers wasn't okay with it. I feel like he was okay with it. He was okay with it when they won in 2017, but he wasn't when they didn't fucking offer him enough money in free agency. He wasn't okay with it.
He's not giving his ring back.
No.
Nobody is.
Nope.
So, and they're, look, who knows how that's going to be received, like, once everybody's seeing each other on a daily basis, right? Seeing your opponents on a daily basis. Like, oh man, you sold us out. Did I? Or was I just not going to let you kind of wax my club like that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because all's fair in love and war. I know what's up. You want me to not tell these guys? Is that what you're asking me to do right now? If you're going to do it, like, that's like, right? I'm not speaking for Mike Fiers. I'm just thinking, if I'm him, I'm thinking to myself kind of along the same vein of Alex Cora. Don't even think about pulling that shit with me. Mm-hmm. I know what the fuck's up.
Right.
So Mike Fiers might not have that kind of pull, or might not be that guy to the Astros clubhouse where they're like, yo, we're not going to do this with Mikey, right? We're going to do this, you know, whatever. We're not going to do this to this club. We'll do, because Mikey's that guy. Like, don't know if that relationship was that way. Apparently not. So he's thinking, well, I'm not going to know. I'm on a club that is chasing this team down. I need these W's. Yeah. We need these W's. I cannot let that ride.
Well, he's under contract for 2020 with the Oakland A's. And would it surprise you at all if he ended up being blackballed? Like, put yourself in that position. Like, say you're on the Astros. You've been on the Astros since 2016.
I'm going to say
you've been there 16, 17, 18, 19.
He would not be blackballed. So, yes, it would surprise me if he was blackballed.
But, like, wouldn't you be a guy that'd be like, I don't know if I want that guy in my clubhouse because
I mean, you know what, man? Every team is doing shady shit. Right. And so that's why, look, there could be a lot to be said about what's going on that you don't know about.
Even if you're not doing like the camera shit or the earpiece shit or whatever, like he's going to get some of that from now on.
But
like,
are we boys?
Whatever clubhouse he ends up in, people are going to like, even if they don't mean it, they're going to bust his balls and be like, ah, be careful. Don't do any of that. If Mike Fiers is around, like, you want to do that.
Well, the easy,
might ratch out.
Well, the easy response would be, are you that good? Or are you not that good? Are you scared?
Right.
What are you scared about?
Yeah.
You're lucky I'm on this team, huh? Because you don't want me on that mound. You need fucking help, don't you? You need the answers to the test.
Right.
Oh, you weren't complaining when that fucking offense was coming up for you? No, what do you want me to do? You want me to stand in the middle of the fucking clubhouse as the guy who's been here for 10 minutes and go, I do not want all of you who are making millions of dollars and are contracted way more so than I am and belong here or a part of here. He's not going to get the reception that you think he's going to get. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. People are going to look at him and go, maybe you just need to sit in the clubhouse when X, Y, and Z are up.
Right.
Maybe you don't come down to the dugout.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get that reception. So, you know what I mean? You can want him to white knight all you want for the greater good of the game in a club out. That ain't going to happen.
Do you think he regrets putting a name to it?
No. Because, I mean, he don't give a fuck. Hmm. Like, it's, he's doing all right. You know what I mean? He's doing all right. He's just fine. And I think there's something to that, and I'm not speaking for him when I say this, but like, yo, man, I would love to get him on the podcast because this is a dude who has like his road to the big leagues, like to college, to the big league is not an easy one, mm-hmm. not an easy one at all. You're talking about a right-hander right now who like with both nuts and ass cheeks behind it, we'll go get you 93, 94, you know?
It's nothing special in today's game.
He's got to work.
Yeah.
He's got to work.
Yeah.
Dirty split, Cuervo, figured out the Slidro as well. Mm-hmm. A little cut piece every now and then, starting to pitch a little bit, mm-hmm. latter part of his career. But this is a guy who's grinded. So is he afraid or worried that he put his name on it? Does he regret it? No, I wouldn't think so.
Mm. Interesting. Well, we'll see because this penalty, this decision that Rob Manfred has to make will define his legacy, yes or no?
No, just because of the potential work stoppage we got coming up and whatever he does.
That too, but I mean like...
That's it. These, like, honestly, like the cheating, that's great. Like we're going to, when I say figure it out, I mean we're going to come to a resolution. We're not going to not have an answer. That's going to happen. We'll have an answer. The idea of that defining him, no. How he navigates the CBA, that will define him. This right now will give you a good look as to how that ball game is going to be played later. Though,
I feel like if there's no work stoppage, then everyone will be like, oh, well, I mean, like, if there's no catastrophe.
Yeah, no, I guess let me rephrase. It has the potential to be. I don't think this has the potential to be the defining moment for him because of the work stoppage. Yeah. So it's almost like however the CBA negotiations go, however that goes, that could very well dictate whether or not this is a defining moment. Because if things go smoothly and we don't have to worry about not showing up in the summertime, well, now this is exactly right.
Yeah.
This will be his Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. Just like Bud Selig had hit, like this is my fingerprint on the game. Mm-hmm. This is my juiced ball era. Bud Selig wanted the home run king out of the game. Doesn't want him in Cooperstown. Roger Clemens, same thing. Like Bud feels pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Manfred would feel pretty good. All things considered, we're still playing baseball after the CBA. if everybody was okay with how this shit got handled.
Talking about blackballing a guy from Major League Baseball, fucking Barry got railroaded in 2007.
Tough one.
Go look at Barry Bonds' numbers in 2007.
You don't want him?
As a 42-year-old man, I think he had like a 1041 OPS, and then every team was just like, nah, pass. I think we're gonna seek an alternate route.
Yeah, nothing up there.
Fucking joke. An absolute joke. I really have to... Anytime I really think about Barry in his final season and how badly he got railroaded, I need to check out some CBD products. I need to.
You cool yourself off.
Have to.
Slow that heartache down. It's painful.
It is painful. And you know what's going to be painful when I wake up tomorrow and my entire abdomen and my lats are just going to be barking at me because I haven't used those muscles in probably 9 months, maybe more.
Well, you didn't really use many of them tonight either.
That's fair. Well, you don't have to get a hit in order to activate the muscles. Attempting to get the hits does just as much of a damage.
I mean,
it takes a toll on your body.
Can I just get 2 minutes of you appreciating the fine effort you saw out of me on the softball field? Because I can feel you wanting to talk about it. What's that?
You almost killed a guy.
No, I mean that wasn't the only outstanding play I made. I made a few other phenomenal plays.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, but you did almost kill a guy.
Yeah. Is that all? Is that it?
You hit a homer.
I did. Hit a homer.
Yep.
Yep. We're only allowed so many of those, so. Gonna kind of keep those.
I don't know why they made that rule in that league. I feel like you were the only one that was physically
capable of hitting a home.
Yeah. No. The guy, like in the Barstool softball league that we played in, that was, I think there was a cap on how many homers.
What
we could
field
hit.
Would you play at?
It was like down by the water.
Is it that field that I just owned?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You guys play softball there?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to play there. The game would be like, how many balls do they bring to the field? Like three?
I mean,
after my third at bat, we'd have to go home.
You can't hit. I think there was definitely like a cap on homers. Yeah, there would be outs.
Well, if you're allowed to hit at least three, we'd go home after my third at bat.
Well, there was one field where it was like 200 feet to left and like 600 feet to right and then vice versa.
Yeah.
The one that you pitched to Dave at, that was the one that it was like 200 feet to right.
Right, because he's right-handed and needed it all.
Yeah.
All in his favor.
Yeah.
Needed every bit. I was throwing from fucking second base.
Yeah. Didn't work out for him that day.
Yeah, no, not so far.
By the way, when that video finally came out, I got torched for not catching any of the pitches that you're throwing. They went out and bought a brand new catcher's mitt. And they were like, here, go catch a fucking former big leaguer. I was like, I can't squeeze this thing. It's brand new. Like, it's not broken in. Straight off the rack.
The best.
I was just getting, like, it totally took away from the. Everyone was like, I'm not even like looking at Dave. I'm not looking at Dallas. I'm just looking at like whoever is behind the plate in the catcher's gear that can't catch a fucking straight fastball.
The best part is like at times you were being asked to squat down even farther so Zaw, who was umpiring, could just
make the calls.
Like, just imagine you standing in line at the grocery store,
yeah,
and like that's how you would be umpiring a baseball game, mm-hmm, or an at bat, and that's what Zaw was doing, just like standing there. He had gear on,
mm-hmm,
he's fully loaded, had gear, but it was just fucking hilarious.
And they bought me all the catcher's gear, just like expensive top of the line catcher's gear, except for a cup. So I was catching you in full catcher's gear with like a t-shirt shoved down my pants.
Yeah, I mean, I told you all you're gonna have to do is just either catch the ball or knock the ball down. Because he's not going to touch the ball.
Couldn't do either.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a struggle there.
Couldn't do either.
Did you get some CBDMD in you?
Yeah, I did. I did after that, and I will need to do so tomorrow.
A little cream?
Well, here's the thing. Is you don't need to be a professional athlete.
True.
To need top-of-the-line support for your muscles and joints. Good thing I kind of am a professional athlete.
You played with one today.
Yeah. Most of the time that I do athletic things, they're with professional athletes.
It's byproduct of what you do.
Yeah. Like, I might not be a professional athlete by definition, but when I do athletic things, they're usually with professional athletes.
Not a lot of people can say that.
Right.
That is a hell of a distinction.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, like, are you athletic? Eh, you know, some would say. Do you play in a rec league? No. Well, what do you do? Well, when I play softball, I play with the big leaguer. When I have live at bats, I pitch to big leaguers.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that's what I do. Like, if I'm talking about anything, like, I usually do it with professionals.
Right.
Not everybody can say that.
Yeah. That is true. So I guess by definition, that makes me a professional athlete. But if you want to recover like the pros do, CBDMD has you covered. They've got a wide variety of high-quality CBD products like tinctures, bath bombs, and sleep aids.
The bath bombs.
But nothing feels better after a tough workout or a long day at the office than CBDMD topicals.
How about the freeze and recover?
Well, here's the thing. CBD freeze with menthol offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube.
Buddy.
That's what I was using after Cleveland when we were taking BP in the parking lot during the All-Star game, and I basically pulled, like, my entire trap. I don't know if it was throwing or hitting. I did something on my right side. And I used the roller, which was, it was a godsend. So if you are like me, and it doesn't take much to have the old muscles barking at you, then you want to check out the CBD Freeze with menthol. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6.
Look at you.
To give you the support you need where it matters the most. And to make it even easier to try Freeze, Recover, or any of CBDMD's premium CBD oil products.
Tell me.
They're offering all the listeners of Starting Nine.
How much?
25% off your next order when you use the promo code STARTING9 at checkout. So once again, that is CBDMD.com, promo code STARTING9, that's one word, for 25% off your purchase of high-quality CBD oil products from CBDMD.
And that is the word starting, the number 9, altogether.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
We got some...
little pepper.
Yeah, you can play a little pepper. Jay, hey! He's on his honeymoon.
He is.
He is on his honeymoon.
Swooning.
He's honeymooning.
Do it.
Good for Jay, hey.
Uh-huh.
Gerardo Parra. Why do you think would you sign in Japan this early?
Buddy. Well, first of all,
the money's good.
Mm-hmm.
They play less games.
Play less games. And come on. I was
the Yomiuri Giants, which Hideki Matsui made famous. Yes,
correct.
Yeah,
these are great times if you're Gerardo Parra. Think about the wave he is riding right now.
You just won a World Series. You're the baby shark guy, and then but like why? Like he must have wanted to play in Japan,
and that's
to sign that deal in November says to me like I want to play in Japan
because you don't know what was the market like for Parra.
I don't know. I feel like coming off a World Series title, he at least could have gotten, if you can't get a major league deal, you could have gotten a minor league deal. But to sign, I mean, like, your market is
because, dude,
months away from developing.
Who's to say with what he has the ability to do with that baby shark wave following him now over there in Japan?
He does that in Japan.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Come on, that is something that, and that is very real. Like, and I'm not saying, like, is he going to get, like, a $2 million endorsement over there? I don't know.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Could be Baby Shark guy in Japan.
He goes over there and lights it up.
Yeah.
He could be a cult fucking hero.
Could be.
Absolute hero. Think about Willie Pena.
Oh, God.
That dude.
He's Godzilla.
That dude ain't paying for a single piece of fucking sushi or a single bowl of ramen
in Korea.
Anywhere. Is that where he was? Korea?
Yeah, he went to the KBO.
Yeah,
yeah.
The KBO. Come on.
I mean, William O'Pena.
So maybe not sushi. He's probably paying for sushi. Korean barbecue, though, they've got.
Did you know that Manny had that in his contract?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like free sushi.
Yes.
Part of his contract in Taiwan.
So Gary Malik, the gentleman from Birdman Bat Company, is actually like, bro. Gary spent time with him abroad.
Yeah.
And like, actually, he's got a video of him like talking to Manny about hitting, like FaceTiming, like, you got to do that, make this adjustment, Manny. I feel like you've been doing this, you know? Manny went up his next at bat, hit a homer, flew him out there, and kept him with him the whole time he was like playing ball.
It is weird. Like, I've heard that from people where Manny will take, I mean, like, Manny Ramirez is one of the greatest right-handed hitters who ever lived, but he'll ask hitting advice from people who are just so, not to say this person is beneath him, but like so beneath him.
But it's a different set of eyes.
Yeah.
And it's something so simple to Manny, and it's something so simple to this guy because it's not convoluted and complicated with all of these, you know, mechanical issues. And like, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what to tell Manny. He can just tell Manny, you look a little weird. Like, your elbow's doing this.
Yeah.
And Manny's like, well, okay. So why is it doing that? Well, during my load, I know that my hands are usually here. That makes, you know, makes sense. My elbow's usually here when, oh, fuck, okay. And it's all because that guy just told him, your elbow looks funny. Yeah. I don't know. Something on your elbow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just go, I'll fucking rake now. Thanks. Fix my elbow. Kind of like, we know a guy who made an MVP quality adjust. I think I'm going to go into the cage today and just stand up a little taller today.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that.
Mm.
Oh, what? It still works. Cool.
I'm going to just, I don't know. I'm going to have a closed stance from now on.
Yeah.
You know, just because it looks funny.
How's this look? Does this look good? Whack. Looks good. That should play.
Yeah.
Let's take it out to the whack. What? Yeah, I played.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with this funky ass closed stance 59 homers later. Sometimes shit happens.
Shit works.
Manny doesn't know anybody's name, by the way. He calls everybody Poppy. What do you think, Poppy?
It's okay. It works.
What do you think about this, Poppy?
Oh. Gurriel.
Mm-hmm.
New deal, huh?
Was this his last year of arbitration? No. 1 year, $8.3 million. Sounds like a second year of ARB to me.
Yeah, look, we understand how important Gurriel has been to this lineup.
Yeah.
He was a guy that we pinpointed during this offseason, regardless of knowing what pitches were coming or not.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that...
One of the best bad ball hitters in the game.
I mean, I think about Rafael Palmeiro. I think about...
Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah, like, well, I was Rafael Palmeiro, I was going front foot hitter. Mm-hmm. Like, not so much maybe a bad ball hitter, but a good, you know, he was a good front foot hitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just guys that, like, for whatever, I don't know if it's an unconventional approach, just it doesn't look like the way you would teach somebody to do it, but it's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I like watching him hit because for me, it's action. Like, I know
I can't pitch him inside. He's one of the best hitters that I've seen at pulling his hands in and still barreling up a ball on something that's way in. Mm-hmm. Like, contorts his butt. It doesn't look pretty.
Plays great in Houston.
Yeah, because you got the Crawford boxes are right there. You can kind of bunt one over the fence in Houston. But he has become a master at, if you pitch him anywhere, if you're trying to bury it in on the hands, he pulls his hands inside and he can barrel up a ball and he twists around like crazy. Like, it doesn't look technically sound.
Now that I'm thinking about it, now that I will, when we are done, I will go back and I'm going to go look at bats of Gurriel on the road. Not because of any pitch tipping or anything like that. Where's he at in the box?
Yeah.
Because if he's somebody who knows what's coming, again, at home, the approach could be such where I'm going to force you to try to throw it in here for a strike because I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get that, whether it's away or not,
yeah,
because I'm sitting on that spinner where I'm at in the box, I've turned that slider away into slider middle, and I can handle that. And I can do what, Jared? Tug that thing right down the line.
Right.
I can also.
He's one of the best at it.
If I'm good at pulling my hands in, I can let you try to get to that heater in because I'm crowding the plate. Go ahead, throw that heater in. Because I'm geared up for what I'm geared up for, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I fucking know it's coming.
You know who else is great at that?
Who?
Manny.
He was good.
He is very good at that.
Inside out. Man, I've said it before. Manny was a dude who you could feel. You could feel him in the batter's box.
Yeah. He would just throw the barrel at the ball. Like, regardless of where you tried to pitch him, one of the best to ever do it. Were you still there when he was in Oakland for that hot second?
Manny was my teammate.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow. I do a podcast with a former teammate of
Manuel Ramirez.
My hitting inspiration.
Will Smith.
Big Willie style?
Yes. What, 3 for 40?
Something like that.
Is that accurate? That's not even on the
docket.
It's not on the docket.
Yeah.
But
I love that. I love that this immediately makes Drew Pomeranz the best reliever on the market.
Dude.
I mean, he deserves that distinction.
The effort was there.
Yeah.
The numbers are there.
Sure.
And if this is about him, not Will Smith, but Drew Pomeranz now being able to operate comfortably in this role.
I mean, the Braves have already signed like 3 relievers.
Chris Martin.
They've already got 3.
Lock him up. 2-year deal.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Mm-mm. They're stuffing that bird, a.k.a. that bullpen.
I did not expect to see the Will Smith domino fall this early. I did expect him to be the first to go. I mean, like, if you don't want to count Chapman, I don't really count Chapman. I don't think anyone really thought Chapman was going anywhere.
No.
Even if, you know, with the opt out. Yeah, no, Will Smith and the Braves. I mean, Atlanta was super aggressive at the trade deadline. They go out and get Shane Green. They get Mark Melanson. It didn't work out for him in the postseason.
No,
but I think that this is a good sign if you're a Braves fan to be like, hey, that's back-to-back years. You know, 2018, they were early. 2019, they were on time, and the result was the same, and it was very disappointing. They need to get over the hump in 2020. That's a team that needs to be in the NLCS in 2020.
Because you don't want to see them kicking around towards the back end of either those Acuna or Albies contracts going, did we miss our window? Because if you're having that conversation at that point, the answer is, you missed that window. That window was there, and now it's not. Because you have two of the game's premier talents for a decade, Carrabis, for under, is this correct? Under $200 million?
Yes.
That is staggering.
Like, it's like
150?
Maybe. Like, with the Albies deal being what it was, and Acuna's deal? Yeah, I mean, like, they're basically, each of them are being paid a third of what they're actually worth. Maybe a fourth.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That's a load.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're looking at with the Atlanta Braves. They need to be in the NLCS next year. I guess we can kind of get into it once we roll into December in terms of, you know, do we think that the Braves are done? No, I don't think the Braves are done. I think that they just got a nice little head start on what they were trying to accomplish this offseason. So we'll see where they go. But I love the move. Love the move for them.
Is this a sign that guys are starting to receive, I guess, I don't know if respectable offers?
Yeah.
Is the way to phrase it. But is this a sign that the whole market correction that we've experienced is starting to like rear respectable offers
for sure
instead of dicking guys around early?
Yes,
and
guys are getting paid what they're worth. And I think it kind of started with Chapman. You know, like the Yankees didn't have to pay him that third year. They didn't have to pay him what the rate that he's going to get in that third year,
right?
You know, if teams are starting to be like, hey, we're not going to spend on players in their mid 30s anymore. We're not going to be dishing out these big dollars for you know, cuz I guess when you look at the reliever market, it's fickle. You know, like relievers are going to come and they're going to go, and the dominant, I mean, look at Craig Kimbrel. Do you think the fucking Cubs are regretting that deal? You bet your ass they are.
But They're like fireflies. You gotta catch them, and you hope you're catching them while they're still burning, while they're still lighting up the sky. Because if not, you've just got dead weight at the bottom of a glass jar that everybody's seen right through.
Yeah.
So you
there aren't a lot of organizations that can just eat that either.
No, No, there's not a lot of organizations that can just walk away from
like hey, we fucked up on that one. We're just gonna move on.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna have an $18 million a year reliever coming out of the bullpen for you in the sixth. You're going to be trotting that guy out there being like, hey, we fucked up, but you know what? You still got the ninth.
Yeah.
Go like blow another one.
You don't see many organizations be able to wear, like paying a guy north of $50 million to hang out in AAA. Like they're just not every, there's not many clubs that can weather that kind of storm.
Yeah, there's not many clubs that can release a guy like Jacoby Ellsbury when he still has $26 million remaining on his contract.
That's a lot to get to go home.
Yeah, that is $21 million for 2020, and then he had and a $5 million buyout for 2021.
How about that?
Good for him.
America!
Yeah, what a country.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, good for him. I'm happy for him. I mean, he didn't do a goddamn thing to deserve $153 million, and that's not hindsight's 2020. I said it when they signed it. I was like, you're going to live to regret this deal. The Yankees were so incredibly stupid for that contract because Ellsbury's career year was in 2011. He was a free agent after the 2013 season. And the Yankees paid him as if he had produced the production from 2011 for like five straight years leading into free agency. Then I would have understood the deal a little bit more. I still wouldn't have given him $153 million. But for the
season.
They
hadn't been thinking what he was doing in Boston. He's going to come over and it's just going to be like, come
it
on,
wasn't
he's
even
turn
in
that
his walk
fucking,
year, though.
You're going to turn that into a phone booth.
He has no compete. He has no compete.
I mean, that was his
own teammates called him out
for it.
I
was going to say, that was the knock, right? That was the knock from a lot of the folks that were in the walls with him.
Yeah, they were like, hey, you got fucking injured in April. It's September. Where you at? We need you. You're a table setter. You're a leadoff hitter. Where you at? We're slip sliding. We could really use your presence in the lineup. He broke his fucking rib in like the second week of April and was like done for the year. And
hey, the side injuries, talk about fickle side injuries, the obliques.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
The intercostals, the rib cage, cartilage.
It was bad. When you get your own teammates calling you out for, you know, your lack of desire to get back on the field, it's bad.
Not where you want to be.
Yeah. It's not where you want to be. And, you know, Brian Cashman, I don't know that he admitted his fault with signing Ellsbury, but you could tell that he was tired of fielding questions about him every spring training. You know, it was going to get to the point where he was answering questions about whether or not he's alive.
Yeah, like we're going to have to address this.
Did you see last spring they like gave away his number?
Yeah.
I think it was like a coach. There was somebody in the Yankees organization that was wearing Jacoby Ellsbury's number while Jacoby Ellsbury was still like on the team.
Yeah.
They were just like, fuck it, dude. Like, whatever.
We've turned the page.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
We know that we're still paying you, but like, we're kind of just moving on anyway.
Yeah. That's the writing on the wall. And honestly, I can say this much about that type of scenario. Anytime you start to feel that organization has looked at you or has communicated to you in one way or another,
yeah,
that they're going to be playing hardball, quote unquote, you know that your only defense is to dig your heels in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's what Ellsbury did, but if what you're reading from Cashman now is any indication of what he felt or how he felt and how that relationship was going, Jacoby wasn't beating the training room door down to get in there and wasn't keeping folks after to make sure that he got to where he needed to be, because he's probably thinking, why?
Yeah.
For who? After what you've said to me and done to me. And that's where, like, that's where it gets ugly, right? Is because you're like, well, do I have to remind you about the $153 million?
Mm-hmm.
Do we got to talk about that? Mm-hmm. About that being a reason why? Or because it's like, well, you could get mad at me or you could understand the situation.
When do you think he signs his minor league deal with the A's?
We're all stocked on the outfield.
Yeah, so like mid-January.
Yeah, we've got cool. We've got first baseman that can play outfield.
Yeah, but Jacoby Ellsbury, I mean, hell of an outfielder.
We got the laser show, but
yeah, I mean, he's probably going to end up with the A's or the Mets.
I could see the Mets being a nice landing spot.
Speaking of the Mets, back then, 2013, that free agent class, I remember like Yankee fans freaking out, being like, you gave the money to Ellsbury that you should have given to Cano. Looking back on it, if you're the Yankees, knowing how both players panned out and what the dollars were, it was, what, 10 years, $200 million?
10 or something like that.
For Cano. Which contract would you rather have had? Because, I mean, if you have Cano, then now you're kind of like blocking Gleyber Torres. I mean, not that they wouldn't have made room for him. You figure it out. I mean maybe you move Robinson Cano to first base and you have some sort of
platoon. Well, I mean, but maybe you might figure it out. Maybe you don't have the opportunity to figure it out as quickly, and maybe he doesn't turn into who he is.
Yeah.
You know, those are all – look, because it's all about timing, man. All about timing. Because if you've got somebody in a spot that is producing and that is living up to the compensation, you're – why are we kicking the tires on him doing anything else?
Mm-hmm.
We've got our guy. The price tag is what it is. So the kid coming up behind him, what else can he do?
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe we don't get to see Gleyber.
Yeah. But which one would you have taken? Did you take the Ellsbury deal, or would you, if you were the Yankees, would you have given Cano what he got from Seattle?
I think I'd probably take Ellsbury, just because I feel like...
What's the harm? Like... Well, I mean, you pay him to just kind of go away versus like Cano. It's like you're stuck putting him in the lineup.
And I think like, yeah, like
PED test. Like now that's another blemish on the Yankees, where you kind of have a long list of guys that have tested positive. It's like, all right, well, that's another Yankee.
And you're talking about him being able to produce, like being able to compete during that contract.
It's the same. You take the same numbers.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, there was little to nothing from Ellsbury.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're spending less. It's less of an embarrassment. Less of a blemish, I guess, if you're spending $50 million less for
What do the Mets have to show for it? They lost their closer?
Yeah. Well.
Or excuse me.
Gained a closer.
They gained a closer, and.
And he stopped.
He's not a closer now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Ellsbury than Cano for the money. For the money and what the production ended up being, because the Yankees, like, they can eat that. Like, I think the PED test matters. Like, I wouldn't want another one of those from the Yankees for a guy that won a World Series title there. I think it's not as big of a blemish if it happens in another organization. And then Ellsbury hasn't played a game since the 2017 playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's like out of sight, out of mind. Cano, you're still like... I gotta stick this 670 OPS.
Right, you gotta make that decision right now. Ellsbury, you don't. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a wash.
Yeah.
Well, not really a wash, but it's over.
Yeah.
It's over now.
All right. Well, I think we gotta get to bed because we have to wake up in like 6 hours.
We will be at Easton in 7 hours.
We'll be at Easton in 7 hours. Brent and I still have like another like 40 minutes to like even get home.
12 miles.
We've been up for like 21 hours.
Yeah. Standard stuff, guys.
Yeah. It's 3. My body clock is at 3 AM right now.
You'll be fine.
This is
what those red eyes over to the East Coast are like for me.
Oh, God.
No big deal. In and out. You don't fucking sleep. What do you sleep for? Sleep when you're dead.
Yeah.
Sleep when you're dead.
My final thoughts are that I want to go to bed.
My final thoughts.
Actually, you know what my real final thought is? This podcast would be significantly better if we were together all the time.
That's usually how that works.
Yeah. I feel like the dynamic is substantially better when I can look into those eyes.
I like to feel you.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. I think it's a lot better in this format.
Happening right now.
Yeah.
My
Do you want to move
thoughts,
in with me?
What's that?
Do you want to move in with me?
I can do that. I can cook.
Can you really?
Oh, buddy.
What's your specialty?
What you fucking name it? What do you like? I make a slamming chicken cordon bleu.
Oh. Ellen makes a great one of those.
Yeah. I've got a pot of stew in there. My wife hammers the pozole. I mean, I'm a big, you know,
I can grill, I can barbecue, I can smoke. I mean, anything outdoors, really. I'm a sauce guy. You like spaghetti, I can get on the bolognese.
Speaking of outdoors.
You know, veal, bison, venison combo meatballs.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I could do it up. Just had some pork chops and potatoes and mushroom gravy.
Yeah.
I can do it all. I can throw down, my friend.
I'm into that.
Throw down, my friend. Also know karate.
Do you?
You got a basement?
I actually was a yellow belt green stripe.
I took Aikido.
I took Taekwondo.
I did not.
Yeah, I'd fuck you up.
You'd have to be able to reach me.
Yeah.
Must be this tall to ride this ride, Rocket.
We gotta go.
We go!